Welcome to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast. My name's David. As always, thank you for another week of the best, the worst, and in-betweens. I've been a kinship carer, kinship kid, and everything in between. As always, you're going to get in touch with us the easiest way through our social media, through the Facebook, two versions of the Twitter, Instagram, and there's lots of ways of getting through to us on the website. If you subscribe through any of the audio subscribers, through podcasts, through Deezer, through Audible, through anywhere like that, you know, just subscribe, like, share, give us a review. Anything will help, and obviously if you do hear an episode that you really do enjoy, please share it to other people that you think might be interested in. If you've got other topics that you want, please comment. That my email is always on the end of this. If you ever want to contact me and say, yeah, I'd like an episode about this, or I'm a bit confused about this, I'd like more information, please do, and I can see what we can do. Now, this episode is going to be sort of in that vein, because one of the things that I've been asked is, how do you become a kinship carer? And I did a couple of episodes a couple of months back about the journey, and it kind of did sort of get to that. But I suppose this should be kind of like a what are the criteria for being a kinship carer? Now, it's not an easy question to answer, because for one, obviously, as we always say, kinship carer is not something you choose. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a kinship carer. It is something that's dropped on your lap due to trauma or abuse or neglect or some other tragedies and things like that. It's very rare that kinship care comes out of something positive. Now, there are occasions where that does happen. There are occasions where I read a story recently. It was about a sister who got pregnant, that she obviously couldn't deal with the child, didn't want to, but she had a sister who was desperate for to have a child, and so it was almost the case of giving it to the sister for them to look after. And so there was a kind of like a nice positive aspect to it, still a little bit of trauma, but it was the case of filling that gap of this. The sister who couldn't have children. So generally it is a negative thing, unfortunately, but there can be some positives from time to time. Now, the one thing that obviously has to be said is that, as I say, there's no such thing as a typical kinship journey. There's no such thing as a typical kinship situation. You can ask 100 kinship carers, kinship kids, why are you there, and you'll get 100 different answers. Some of them will blend over, some of them will be similar, there'll be aspects of them in regard to neglect, but some neglect is worse than others. Some, it's just simply a case of they haven't been able to be looked after, or sometimes it's because of other things. As I say, it's very rare that it is a positive aspect, but there is no such thing as a typical kinship care kid or kinship care family, even. A lot of times that's why there's very few books and things about kinship care, is because it is such a niche, and I hate using that word, but it's kind of a niche in part of the care system. They do talk about us being like the most important aspect because of the familial attributes and everything else that goes along with it. But it's you literally can speak to 100 people, as I say, and it'll be 100 different answers and questions, and no one's situation is the same. So whenever you talk about, oh, these are the things you might be eligible for, 10 people might be eligible for it, and then you'll get that one person who isn't because of A, B, C, or D. And they may not be able to have certain things because of the areas that they live in, or because the type of child that it is, or maybe disabilities, or the situation in regards to why they're in their care. So I say there's no such thing as a typical kinship carer. The things that are typical, though, are obviously you have to be over 18. Now, you obviously have to be adult to look after a child. Obviously, you're an adult when you turn 18. That's not to say that an 18 may be capable of looking after a child. And there's arguments in regard to that either way. But you have to at least be 18. You have to be what the government and legally you're considered to be an adult at that point. You don't have to have a stable job in regards to this. Now, this is a strange one. I always think that maybe one of the criteria for kinship care is that there should be a couple. Now, I know this is kind of a, I don't want to say it's a controversial thing, but for me, it's when I speak to a lot of kinship carers, one of the things that comes about is when they are only a single family, a single carer, there is a lot of struggle in that because they have to juggle finances, for one. They have to potentially give up a job. They have to go down to having potentially dealing with the benefit system or dealing with your SGO payments, which can be as much or as little as that particular authority says. And so it can be very difficult for, and plus you've got to look after the child. And this child could be, as I say, anything from 0 to 18. And you know, what you have to do for that child can be, you've got to go to school meetings and your hospital appointments and contact and care and all these other things, as well as obviously the day-to-day caring of the child. You have to be able to be doing this. You have to be able to at least show that you can. But financially, you don't have to. Now, generally, it does help. If there is a couple, generally what will happen is one of them will be told to become a kinship carer, and then the other one will carry on with their work, and it's whether that has an effect as well. Now, it should be noted in regards to that, in regards to things like universal care, universal credit, and things like that, is that generally what that should mean is that they will support you to be able to do this care, to live, obviously pay your rent, pay your bills. You will hear a lot of people talking about kinship carers and they don't go on holiday, and there are aspects of that where you hear people saying since they've taken on their kinship kid, they haven't had a holiday in years. There are a lot of charities around, obviously Kinship ourselves, Kinship Care Liverpool, we do a lot of days out and things like that, and we do try and have events where they can be potentially seen as a holiday depending on what's going on. We can obviously help if there is a desire for a group of you. This is one thing that a lot of the charities do, is they will send people on holiday. They will look for funding and see if they can arrange for holidays and see if they get discounts and that. We can obviously, if you check with ourselves and obviously go with that, we can certainly have a look at that. But there are obviously, if the child has any disabilities, there are charities out there who do help with this. There is the Fostering Fund, there's the one that Timpsons does. I think it's closed now, but every year they offer holidays, usually the camping holidays within the UK, but a holiday is a holiday. But you don't have to be sitting there with millions of pounds. You don't have to be sitting there with hundreds of thousands in savings and all this stuff. If you have, obviously it helps a lot, but if you haven't, it's not going to make any difference. The main thing is going to be about whether you can prove that you can look after the child, because obviously there's no point in doing it if you can't do that. One of the things to be brought up, especially in regard to, as I say, you have to be 18, is whether there's an upper age limit. And the fact of the matter is there isn't, which is, it's a little, I don't want to say it's strange, but it is a little strange when you have people. Obviously, one of the main sources of kinship care is grandparents, and grandparents would generally be in their 50s, 60s, and above. And this is not to say that they can't do the job. I know so many people who do the job and they do it wonderfully. But there is an aspect of it where, I've spoken to so many as well who have spoken and said, what happens if something happens to me? What happens if I can't look after them anymore? And it is a very complicated, especially if they are still a younger age and still still not able to, they're not 18, they're very young. So the one thing that is always important to do is have a backup, have your support plan in place. If you're in your 40s, 50s, you may not consider this, but obviously things can happen anytime. Accidents happen, incidents happen. Obviously what we just had with the COVID-19 situation, people can just be taken away like that. it's about having that plan in place, and you have to speak to the authorities in regards to this, because a lot of people do think that if you suddenly went for whatever, you know, if you died, or if you were incapable of looking after a child, would that child then just go back into the system? And the fact of the matter is that is exactly potentially what will happen. Obviously, the authority will have to be involved. Generally, they'll still be classed as maybe a looked after child, and that authority will have to look at what they need to do, whether they have to sort of start from scratch and look for another person within the family who can look after them, or whether they then have to look at things like fostering, long-term care, that type of thing. But there is no upper level in regard to age, but the main thing that they do, and they don't do it medically, although, again, they do have a look at some medical aspects, is they do look at whether you are capable of looking after a child. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you are someone who's literally bedbound or housebound, it's highly unlikely you're going to be appropriate to be a kinship carer, because you've got to take them to school, you've got to take them out, you've got to take them to meetings, contact, whatever it would be. So if you literally can't, and it's not just a case of you can't walk, obviously there's aids and things like that, and motability and those type of things can help with that. But if you literally can, you know, have people looking after you, then you may not be considered to be the best person to look after another child, especially if they are a younger age. I started doing kinship care when I was, I think, 35. So I was still in that area where I could still deal with, I think ours was 8 weeks old, so we could still deal with the night feeds and the nappies and everything else. But, you know, if you physically can't do it. So one of the things you have to think is to look at your ability. You know, everyone wants to be able to say, yes, I'll do it. But if you physically can't do it, don't put yourself through it, because at the end of the day, it's not going to benefit anyone if in 6 months' time you have a breakdown and say, well, actually, I physically can't do it. Because for one, it will have wasted a lot of time and funding within the authorities for you to get approved and everything else, and for everything else to be put in place. Plus, if they then have to do it again, that's another cost. And it may be a case of at that time, they may have already got a real bond to yourself, and although they may still be able to see you, it may be even less, because you may be down sort of on the totem pole in regard to contact and things like that. That might not come as something that's important, although, yeah, it's all important. Another question I was asked for myself was, do you have to go to court at any point? Now, it's a really strange one with this, because I mean, I didn't particularly have to go to court. We had to go to certain meetings, but it was mainly done through the social workers, through the authorities, through everything else. I don't recall ever going to any court proceeding other than the fostering panel, which you generally have to go through. The only reasons you would have to go to court is if you are looking for something beyond an SGO, such as going through adoption, or if you're having to deal with the legal aspects of why the child's been taken off the parents. Now, it's the only other reason why you would have to go to court is if your placement is informal. So you find this a lot with a lot of kinship carers, where there's no legal aspect of you being a kinship carer. Now, the hard thing about this is the fact that if you don't have an SGO, if you don't have some kind of care order in place, that parent can come at any time and just say, right, come on, get in the car. And the child may be able to say, you know, I don't want to go, and then you can get the authorities involved. But technically, even if the police get involved, there's nothing they can do to stop, unless that child is basically begging the police that they don't go with them, and then obviously becomes more that they will go into the authorities rather than anyone else. They have no authority to stop that child being taken back to the parents. So a lot of people have gone to court with this. Now, the issue with the court system, now they are trying to update this where people in kinship care can have access to legal aid no matter what. Now, at the moment, legal aid is, I've spoken about this in previous episodes, legal aid is like on a on a like an income base. So if you earn a certain amount of income, you can't get legal aid. The loophole behind this, and obviously I've said this before, is that you can apply for legal aid on behalf of the child who's always who being under 18 will always have access to legal aid, but it's whether that child will go ahead with that. So you have to get their, obviously, their consent to basically go through all of that, and it's a bit of a complicated matter. But if you are in lower incomes or on certain benefits, you don't earn so much, you will have access to legal aid, or you potentially will have access to legal aid. It is a complicated matter. It's definitely something. If I was ever going down that route, I'd probably speak to someone like the Family Rights Group online, just to see where you stand. But in regards to going to court or anything like that, you don't have to do that. No, there's no aspects of court that I recall. But it depends on what happens throughout it all. You know, if the mother is or the parents are not willing to let you take them or whatever it is, and there's no official order in place and there's no reason technically, then that might lead to it. But generally, it depends on, again, it's on a case by case basis, but in my experience, it's only if there's no authority involved or there's no locked after child, those type of things. And the final one, and this is specific to ourselves here at Kinship Care Liverpool, is whether you need to be a kinship carer to use our services. And it's a very complicated one, this one, because as long as you are considering yourself a kinship carer, then, and you live in the Liverpool area, you can always come to ourselves. Obviously, contact us on the website, contact us on our telephone. You know, it's all on the website. You can just contact us and see what services we can offer and what help we can offer. Generally, you know, we're not going to sit there and say, well, actually, you're not a kinship carer because of A, B, C, D, and A. If we think that there's a way we can help you, we'll always point you, even if we can't do it, we'll always point you in the right direction. But generally, if you are, the main question would be asked, are you looking after a child that's not yours, and are you related or in some way connected to that child? So if you are, if you've adopted the child, if you are just simply fostering, then unfortunately not. There are a number of other services that can help with in regards to that. But if you can answer those two questions with a yes, then you can come use our services, and then obviously we can see what we can do in regards to that. So if you do feel at any point that you are a kinship, and even if you're not in the Liverpool area, if you've got any questions, if you're living in Bristol or you're living in Birmingham or you're living in another Bradford, I'm trying to think of another B, you're living anywhere in the UK and you think, well, actually, my services aren't doing very well. Yeah, what is it that you offer? And maybe you can point me in the right direction. Yeah, we're not going to say, well, you're from Bradford, we're not going to help you. We'll at least have a look and say, well, you may be eligible for this, 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 and this. So, yeah, please don't think that we're just going to turn you away because you don't come from Liverpool. You know, at the end of the day, we're all kinship at the end of the day. Obviously, there is the main kinship charity, and there's a lot of kinship charities out there. Kinship UK, Kinship Scotland, there's Ireland. I believe Wales has one as well, though. I think they're part of UK. But Scotland specifically has their own sort of rules regarding it. So it's definitely something, if you ever have any comments, thoughts, if you have any questions that you really need answering, even if you're not in the Liverpool area, because obviously the problem with a lot of it is because all the authorities treat things differently, we can never say, oh, you'd be entitled to this, you'd be entitled to that, because in your area you might not be. But we at least know if you're in the Liverpool area and you've answered those two questions yes, then yeah, please contact us. Yeah, the more people we have with us on our books, the more we can actually tell people, these are kinship carers in Liverpool, this is how many people we can support. Yeah, the more people we support, and we're almost inundated. I mean, obviously over the summer we had a lot of our trips that were really oversubscribed because of how many people access our services. Now, in a sense, that's a really good thing. You know, in a sense, it's bad because it just shows how unfortunate lives are, but you know, it's good that we have got people who can access, and the more we can show that we're needed, the more we can access in regard to funding, in regard to anything else, help and advice and everything else. So as always, if you're going to get in touch with us, easiest way is through our social media, through the Facebook, two versions of the Twitter, through the Instagram. through the email, through website. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us. So thank you very much for listening. My name's Dave, and you listen to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast.